Hallelujah, hallelujah. We invite you to go in your Bibles, on your phone, whatever you use, or if you just want to gaze upon the screen on the screen and see the scriptures there, I would encourage you, please, please, please find a place that you can write down your notes or highlight on your phone so that you can go back and review it when you need to review it, because I'm just going to tell you the truth. Your mind ain't as sharp you think it is. There's going to be a day you going to forget something. And if you write it down, you can go back to it and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So we invite you to the book of Mark in the 15th chapter, and we're going down to verse 37. As we prepare to enter this season of Lent, that season of fasting and praying before the victory was won, before the victory was seen, before Jesus fulfilled his mission, we're going to see some things. We're going to see some things as we study about what God's plan was, is, and always will be. So on that, it says in verse 37, and Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, the entire length, y'all. And when the centurion, which stood over against him, saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, which means he died, y'all, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. Truly, this man was the Son of God. And today, we want you to understand there were no words needed. So let me say that another way. It was not intellectual language. We place a strong emphasis today on our words. We place a strong emphasis on our words. And mothers and fathers and teachers teach children to use your words. We are taught to be guarded about our words. But on this day, in this message, in this understanding, there were no words needed. No words were needed. Let me start by just sharing how that can happen. Let me illustrate a quick point. There's a story about a man who was a member of a local church. And as he was, I think I might've shared this some years back. I'm not sure. I can't remember. My mind gets a little short. Say he used to attend fairly regularly, you know, and I imagine that today this is pretty relevant because there are people who used to attend the church pretty regularly, but in COVID they ain't attending. You know, they've stopped. Some said I'm staying home, but what we look at the evidence say that a lot of people who were going to church, some are going online, but most of them aren't even going anymore. They're not attending. They're not showing up in person and not showing up online. So that means they are not going somewhere. So, but this man, you know, he attended, he stopped between whatever the reason, I don't know. So a few weeks after he wasn't there, the pastor went by to see. So it goes that the man was surprised with, pleased to see his pastor. You know, so it was a chilly evening, so the man was doing his thing. He was sitting in his easy chair and had his fireplace going, and because the fireplace was going, he was all right. So the pastor walked in, he sat down, and they just sat there. Nobody said nothing. They just sort of sat there and rested in the flame of the fire. And I could imagine what a peaceful moment that would be. I don't know if y'all ever sat by a fire or just sat by with somebody and just, you didn't have to say anything. You were just happy just to be there. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord. So that the man was expecting the pastor to say something. So he began to get a little confused and was wondering, well, you know, wait a minute, what's going on? But he didn't say nothing. So the pastor got up and he went and took the tongs to the fireplace and he took one of the embers and he set it aside from the fire on the side where it was not in the flame, and he just let it sit there. And the man was like, well, I need to say something. Just the pastor, I ain't going to say nothing. What is he doing? And they sat there and they didn't say nothing. didn't say nothing. And after a little while, that ember had sort of died out because it wasn't in the flame of the fire. And if it ain't in the flame of the fire, it dies out. That's what it does, right? So all of a sudden, the pastor got up and he took the ember from off the side, which had stopped burning, and he put it back in the fire, and he sat down, and the ember all of a sudden caught fire again. And the pastor got up. And as he walked to the door, and he got the host, and somebody said, look, thank you for the sermon and your visit. So I'll see you in church next Sunday. There were no words that were needed. He illustrated that if you isolate yourself, if you sit over here and you're not part of the fire and connected to the fire, you're going to cease to burn. And if you cease to burn, it means you ain't doing something you need to do. But there's no words were needed. It was just an illustration. It's an illustration. Well, that's what we see here in this text today. We see in this text, and I don't know what you know about the temple and what you know about the veil, but just let me give you a few points. The veil was about 60 feet high and 30 feet wide. I mean, if the veil was over the door coming into the sanctuary, you couldn't get in. The other reason you would not be able to get in because it was extremely heavy. This was not just a little piece of polyester. This was fine woven cotton, fine woven materials. And it had so much to it that you couldn't pick it up. The report said it took about 30 people to carry the veil to the temple. 30 strong men, not the ones who ain't got them, 30 strong men to carry the veil. Well, you don't even know what that looks like. When was the last time you saw it took 30 men to carry something? We don't do that no more. We get the crane. Look at God. But it took 30 men to put this thing up. And the thing, it was embroidered. But you don't have to understand me. Look at what it said. The first thing, the veil was there for a reason. The veil said, keep out. You are not welcome here. Has anybody ever told you weren't welcome somewhere? Oh, so come on. So let's look at this veil. If you go to Exodus 26 and 31, you'll understand. Next slide, Sister Beverly. Exodus 26 and 31 says, for inside of the tabernacle, said they made a special curtain of fine woven linen, decorated with blue and purple and scarlet thread, and with a skillfully embroidered cherubim. And the seraphim was designed to keep you out. It was designed to keep you out. You can't come in. You don't believe me? Where was the first seraphim? Well, I'm glad you asked. It was in Genesis. When God took Adam and Eve, they had to leave the garden. He said what? He put the seraphim, but so the Lord banished them from the Garden of Eden. He sent Adam out to cultivate the ground for which he had been made. After sending them out, the Lord stationed mighty seraphim to the east of the Garden of Eden, and he placed a flaming sword to flash back and forth to what? To guard the way to the tree of life. So God created the seraphim to what? Protect his tree. He said, when you violated what I did, I gotta keep you out. You can't come up in here. God did that. He said, keep out. You are not welcome here. I told you and I trusted you, but when you violated the trust, I'll make sure you don't get back here. And then when they created the veil to the temple, he said, guess what? Only certain people, the priests, can get this close. You're not permitted to get this close. You don't have to believe me. They used to go whenever the priest would go into the inner chamber where God was represented, where the ark of the covenant and where God would reside. They used to put a rope on them because they know some people went in there that shouldn't. They were going to die and they had to pull them out. Has anybody got to pull you out of here today? You ain't got to have a rope tied to you to come into the presence of God, but you still need to come the right way. Jesus said, I'm not trying to keep you out, but I'm trying to keep you right. But the world says, keep out. You're not welcome here. You're not welcome, what, to be able to live a victorious life. You're not welcome, what, to do things differently than the world. You're not welcome right here if you don't follow the logic that we've given you, because this is the only thing. It's all about you. No, we don't do it that way. God did it a different way. He knew that to get close to him, you had to be the holiest of holies. And if your spirit was wrong, God wants you to die. He kept you out. When you went in there, you knew I'm right with God. When you walk into this place, do you know you're right with God? Now, before you're thinking I'm being judgmental and don't come in here if you don't, that ain't the reason we come. We come to worship. But for those who know God, we should be right with God. We should come to seek to be in his presence. And well, God ain't gonna say, I'm gonna keep you out. Oh, before someone said, well, it's the hospital. It's for bad. No, no, no. It is a hospital where you need to get. But guess what? There needs to be some doctors and some nurses up in here who are ready to administer the word of God so there can be healing. If you ain't in the spirit of what God's saying, you doing your own thing, you ain't gonna be no doctor. You ain't gonna be no nurse. Oh, you got the crips, you got the AIDS, you got the you got this, that, I ain't getting close to you. You dirty. No, I can't do that. Where my gloves at? God didn't say lay hands on them with no gloves. He said lay hands on them in the spirit and pray in the spirit and they shall be what? They will be healed. The demons will be cast out. That's what the word says. And if we walk in the power of the word, guess what? Nobody's got to pull us out. So stop. Keep out. You're not welcome here. You know, there's a challenge because nowadays, instead of it being sin is not welcome here, we tend to act like God's not welcome here. I can control, I can do because of what I know or the way I want to do it. I read this week, and it was a painful illustration. It was an article written about four sins that Christians have become comfortable with. Four sins Christians have become comfortable with. And the first one is that I know more than anybody else. I study for myself. It's a sin of pride, right? The second thing, but then the third one was really troubling. Really troubling. The third one's, I ain't got to follow the leader. Because the leader don't know what I want, what I know. And in God's Bible, in his book, nobody fought against the leader. God defended those who were called to lead. Nobody could defeat his prophets. Those were his leaders. Nobody could defeat the warriors who fought for God. Those were his leaders. Ask King David. David was never defeated by anybody. He was cast out. He had to run until he what? Got the Urim and the Purim, and he prayed. And then God said, guess what? You ran out this time, but go ahead and pursue him. And guess what? Oh, okay, God, if I go and pursue him, will you pursue him? You're going to be victorious. Ask Jesus what they did. They abandoned him. Those who knew the word, understood the word, saw what was happening, but we ain't gonna follow that leader because he came from the wrong side of the tracks. And when you come from the wrong side of the tracks, that don't fit well with us. So they abandoned Jesus. They said, you're not welcome here. What's happening in your life that makes God think he's not welcome in your place? Used to be a song say, Lord, you are welcome in this place. Lord, you are welcome in this place. Is God welcome in your place? So I said, what's going on? Well, thank you, Sister Lisa, for your testimony. Honesty. Lord, I know what you said. Lord, I don't want to do what you said, but Lord, you're welcome in this place. And because God was welcome in your place, look how he flipped the script. And when you went out on faith, look what God did. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. keep out. You're not welcome here. God will do some things that will flip the script, will turn your life upside down. If you don't believe me, ask somebody. Woke up this morning, wasn't expecting to have to hear so much trouble. So much trouble. So much trouble. Overnight, someone's great niece is in a car accident. They had to airlift them to Trojan Hospital. And they're in the midst of panic. In the midst of panic, someone said, well, I need to go, be still. And do what God said. Because God is there. And God will lead and guide you. Somebody don't understand. We got a baby that's been in the hospital since birth. And we got a new mother. We got a new mother that's concerned. My baby's still in the hospital after 10 days. We don't know what's going to happen. Yes, we do. God is in control. That's what we got to trust. This was not part of my plan. No, it wasn't part of your plan. But guess what? God said you still got to do. And watch me provide for you doing. That's what God is saying. So keep out, keep out. You're not welcome here. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We understand that the same thing was not what God wanted. Because here's what God wanted. In Revelation 22, 1 and 2, he says what? Y'all know what Revelation says, what? Come. The new heaven, that's where he said he wants you to come. He wants you to be there. God said, this is the place that you will enter. He's not saying I'm going to keep you out. He said, come unto me. And he showed me what a pure river or what the water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb in the midst of the. God said, I ain't trying to keep you out. I'm trying to bring you in. Hallelujah. That's just what God says there. But the second thing we understand today, the second thing we understand is God's not trying to keep you out. God said there were no words that were needed. No words. He didn't have to give an order. When we talk about Mark 15 here in our scripture today, it says, and Jesus cried with a loud voice and he wasn't giving any words. He cried out of his agony, his pain. He gave out a shout and he gave up the ghost. He died. And once he was dead, it said, and the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. This 60 foot by 30 foot veil that was up there that was too heavy, they witnessed that it was split right down the middle from the top, not hanging and dangling like we wear our clothes sometimes, one shoulder off, but the entire thing was split from the top to the bottom. And look what it did. It gave a testimony to the power of God. Tasha Codd said, break every chain. God broke the chain when he died on Calvary. Somebody else said, well, let free me. I'm free. Thank God I'm free at last. Well, Ted, we don't have to worry about your free at last right now. God set you free when he died on Calvary. So what? The veil of the temple. Oh, guess what? The ropes could be left outside. They didn't have to be tied to your ankles to pull you out. The doubt and the fear was left outside. Why? Come boldly to the throne of God. You don't have to worry with this, that, what the other one said. You just have to do what thus saith the Lord. He said the veil was rent, and when the veil is rent and you let it be rent in your life, watch what happens. The centurion who was sent there to guard him said, wait a minute, y'all. Truly, truly, surely, absolutely, this man was the Son of God. Somebody was lying. Somebody wasn't telling the truth. Somebody was tricking us. Somebody was fooling us. Somebody was casting doubt. Somebody was casting fear. Somebody was trying to show that you know too much to worry about what that was. But God said truly, truly through the centurion that that was the Son of God. The same man from the wrong territory. The same man from the wrong side of the tracks. The same man who didn't say nothing when they tried to get him. So he said he didn't need to use the word. His action proved louder than the words. The veil was rent. And it didn't take a word. He didn't have to say nothing. But it was the word. Hallelujah. Oh, somebody got that right. It was the word who didn't have to speak. The word who didn't have to rationalize, the Word who just stood on the truth and watched what happened. The separation, the anxiety, the fear, the irrational thought that don't make sense. How could that be? All of the lies that were told in the spirit of trying to be truthful were cast aside, for the veil was rent. And because the veil was rent, we understand now, as Paul described it in Romans in the third chapter and 19th verse, in verse 19 and 20, said, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are what? Under the law. So under the law, they approved and accused Jesus of not being the Messiah. That was under the law. But we know Jesus, what? Fulfilled the law, because he was not, he was the maker, the giver, and he was above all of that. Said that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. So the law came to show us our sin. Jesus came, what? To fulfill the law. He's greater than law. So what? That we know that our sin will not cast us out. Our sin will not keep us from heaven if we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. So when he rent the veil, he made a way that we could come to him. And when we come to him, all the law is gone as far as we're concerned. The law has no bearing on us. The law has no power over us. The law can't draw us in. The law can't reel us in, because Jesus rent. He made separation. That chain that's on your ankle, that chain that's on your wrist, it can't pull you in. 10,000 horses, they can't pull, because in the name of Jesus, you have been set free. In the name of Jesus, you can walk to your victory. In the name of Jesus, you got the power to understand. And even when your mind can't comprehend just what Jesus, how could it be that this thing fell and he didn't say a word? Well, I'm glad you asked. It works that way because we give it to God, not because what we think, what we read, what we analyze, not because of all those things. Those things have their place according to what the world, but with God, it's really, really simple. Yes, God, I'll do what you say, or no, God, I won't. And when you get into that no or I don't know territory, you get yourself in trouble. Ask Sister Lisa, what'd you say? Say, look, God, can we talk about this? I don't see this. I don't understand this. How many of us have been there? Somebody tell the truth today, shame the devil. Yes, I've been there. God, I want to talk with you because I don't think. But we learned this morning, right? Job wanted to talk with God, and Job had to confess. Oh, God, I knew some things up here, but I didn't know you down here. Job had to say, I lived a righteous life up here. I did what you said. I followed the ABCs. I followed the rules. I did it, and all things were well. So now, God, why is it changed? Because now I understand I ain't as good as you. I don't know as much as you, but I got to surrender to you. And when Job repented, he did what God said. Look at what God did. God just showered more on him. He gave him more and more and more. And even the ones who didn't understand where Job was had to give him stuff. Sister Lisa, did you see? God gave you some more and some more and some more. Don't mistake. Don't mistake. The reason he told you to give more, Sister Lisa, because he wanted you to account for the tithe you have to pay on what you're earning. See, God was taking care of that up front. Look at God. Look at God. He said, yeah, I know you're going to make more. You're going to be stuck on this number. But as I give you more, I'm preparing you now that you got more to give, because I'm going to give you more so that what? You'll still be in line with me. Oh, somebody get that. You need to get, how much is given, more is required. When God has given you knowledge and God has given you understanding, he's given you anointing, so much more is required. Why? Because he's given it to you not to be for yourself, but to be a blessing to somebody else. For those who've been put in positions of leadership, let me make this statement. All of you repeat after me. I am in a position of leadership. I'm not talking at you, the pastor. I'm not talking about you, a deacon or a preacher or any of that stuff. I'm talking about being in a position of leadership with Christ. For once you become part of the body of Christ, you're a part of the responsibility to lead those who don't know Christ into Christ, to share the word with them that their lives might be changed, to share a word for them that their pains might be relieved, to share a word for them that their situations can change because they have hope in the one who rent the veil, who did what nobody else can do it. Oh, we make relationships. Let me just share this, illustrate the story. Spoke to a former coworker yesterday, and she said, I'm glad you called because I was struggling with something. She said, so-and-so started a business and we went through, I said, I understand all that, but that spirit ain't right. Sit up here trying to come after the company to do things they know not right and get paid on the side and they want me to do it. She said, but I can't do it. And I said, why not? She said, because it was right. She said, even way back, and she said, I remember a conversation where you and I had this conversation. She said, look, if the spirit of the person is not right because they don't believe in Christ, how do you follow what they do? Because it's going to lead you the wrong way. She said, you and I had that conversation about this person. And here you are calling me now after over a year that we can talk. I said, well, what did you do? So I followed what the spirit of God told me, and I left them alone. But she said, my soul is vexed because one of the people doing it, I thought they understood. And I said, they did understand. But we all fall into temptation at times. And remember, that person was having some issues with their family and health. So don't be angry. Go talk with them and remind them. Because you might be able to pull them out of the situation they've gotten themselves in. She said, yeah, I got them a job where I was working before I left there. I said, see what God had you do? So just remind them, hey, this is not the spirit of the God that lives in you. So sometimes that's where we got to be as leaders. This world we live in wants to criticize and ridicule everybody. And that is exactly opposite of what God says. There are more Christians criticizing and ridiculing than the rest of the world. That's a sad commentary. Jesus says sometimes no words are needed. We just do what God says and tells us to do. And we understand what it said in Romans, but we also understand in Isaiah 53. Look at how prophetic God was. So he was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he what? Opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter and as a sheep before her shears his dove. So he what? Open not his mouth. Jesus didn't have to say anything for the veil to be rent. Sometimes you don't have to fight that battle. Y'all know how we fight, right? How we fight our battles? We pray and watch God do his thing. So then the last thing, because we understand as we enter this period of Lent and the things we want to understand, we understand that what we got to keep out because you're not welcome. That's what the world says. That's what the enemy says. He want to tell we can't. We understand that there's no words that are needed. But then it says in silence, what? All became welcome. When Jesus went to the cross, when Jesus went to Calvary, when Jesus died on the cross, when Jesus what? Gave up the ghost and the veil was, he did it for a specific reason. And the reason that he did it, because he wanted our sins what? To move beyond us. If you go to 2 Corinthians 2:5-21, he says what? Now then what? We are what? Ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye what? Reconciled to God, for he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that what we by me being what the righteousness of God in him, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's in Romans, right? Go read Romans, right? In 5:23, it'll tell you that all have sinned and fallen short. That's the condition that we're in. Until we accept what the love of Christ and his precious blood that rent the veil, that's where we are. Somebody needs to know the truth. You ain't all that in a bag of chips, because right now, guess what? If you don't accept the love of Christ, there's a destination and a place that you can go, and you ain't gonna live victoriously. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not trying to force you. I'm just telling the truth that his love did these things, and you've never seen a love like that anywhere in your life that he might draw you. I still don't understand. Well, guess what? God had him in the Garden of Eden, right? That's a fact. He said, don't mess with that tree. They messed with the tree. God kicked them out that they had to go to work. And now because they're going to work, God said, I'm not going to let you do that again. He didn't do it because he was afraid that what they're going to get. He did it so he would not allow them to sin again. That's love. I'm not letting you come to this tree anymore. I love you too much. You don't believe me? Ask what Jude said. Sometimes you got to snatch them out of fire. Snatch temptation away from them. He said, you can't come back up in here. I'm not going to let you. So we were separated. But oh, look, thanks to Jesus, he took the separation away. Kirk Franklin sang a song, he'll take the pain away. I know it. He'll take the pain away. Separation from God is painful because you're operating with no strength. Separation from God requires us to what? Try to figure it out. Some things are way beyond what we have the capacity to figure it out. I don't care how smart the greatest scientist is, was, or will ever be, is yet to come. Some things are beyond our comprehension. Go ask C.S. Lewis, one of the great minds and scientists of all times. And we kept trying to figure it out. And finally, when he gave it over to God, he went, now I get it. It was more than I could have. Oh, you don't have to go that far. Go to Job. Job thought he had it figured out, but guess what? It wasn't figured out. So today, what does that mean? Well, it's not about shame. It's not about the sin, but you need to understand some things. First off, God did what he did. Jesus did what he did on the cross for you. Jesus died for whatever the sin is. He died for the sin of commissions and omissions. He died for the sin of rejecting him. He died for the sin against his word. He died for the sins what, of violating the law. That's what Jesus did. That's the generic part. He died for the thief. He died for the murderer. Yet while they were on the cross next to him, he gave them an opportunity to what? Come unto him. We know the story. He said what? This day what? You will be in paradise to the one what? That confessed and said, oh, Lord, remember me. To the other one who was full of pride, who was full of self, he left him alone to go where he had to go because he didn't accept Jesus. Now, you need to fill in the blank. Jesus died what? Jesus died for what? What is your sin that you commit, that you do, that Jesus died for? I can't fill in your flame, your blank. I can fill in mine. He died for my anger. He died for my pain. He died for my disobedience. He died for my pride. He died for my arrogance in my mind. He died when I just said, God, I don't care what you want. I'm going to do what I want to do. And I did what I wanted to do. Jesus died for that. So because he died for it, I can be set free. Because he died, those chains have been broken. You don't know what I used to be, and you only see what I am right now. But oh my God, if you knew what I used to be, you say, get him up out of here, because there's something wrong with anybody who thinks like that. Oh, let me call it out. If you think you know more than anybody else, you need to understand God knows more. If you think that you can't trust God because you ain't got enough to trust God, you need to think again. God took the widow woman. He told Elijah to bless her, and she had more than she needed. Somebody hear me today. God said, whatever you need, I will provide. Just follow me. So when we understand that this invitation, we need to understand the root word. There's a word out there that says confidence. How many of you got confidence? How many of you got confidence? How many of you got confidence? You got confidence, and you're full of your confidence, and you know what you can do. Well, I hope you understand what the word confidence means. And I think you might rethink a little bit of what your confidence is. The word confidence at its root means free to speak. Uh-oh. Y'all missed that, didn't you? See, we take our confidence sometimes because it means free to speak, and we should because we got confidence, but we ain't got to be confident in God or against God because God knows more than anything we knew. We just got to be obedient, and our confidence becoming God speaking and not us speaking. Oh, somebody missed that. We flipped the script. Hey, I got confidence. I know what I'm talking about. I studied this word, and I'm going to say what I studied. I've been there, done that, still got challenged with, but I've learned one thing. No matter what I've studied, no matter what I know, Lord, what do I say? But if you got, I do have confidence in Jesus. This thing up here, I'll mix it up sometime. Oh, let me prove. Have any of y'all ever heard me say Peter when I meant Paul? Yeah, you heard it. You didn't say nothing to me, but yeah, I've said the wrong thing sometime. I sure have. Looking at it, it's St. Peter. It's St. Peter, but Paul came out. Because of my confidence, I didn't have to check what I was doing at that moment. Because the enemy said, I'm just going to switch this up. Because when you say the wrong thing, somebody going to get upset. And I've had people come running. You said this and that's wrong and you shouldn't make them mistakes. And I said, but did you know what I meant? Yeah, I did. Then you listen to the Spirit. Then don't listen to me if I made a mistake. Because that's going to happen. Because that's what the enemy does. We have to keep in mind. So what is the sin that Jesus died for you? You fill in your blank. You fill in your understanding. But understand, when Jesus died, the veil was torn. It was ripped. Didn't need no words. You don't need no words. When your spirit is sorrowful and your spirit knows, just say, Lord, in your mind, forgive me. You don't have to say nothing. Just think it. And God will forgive you. For God already knows where you are. We don't have to stop there. He said, look, in John 6 and 37, and this is something for all of us to help all of us. He said, look, he said, all, not just those on the right side of the track or those on the left side of the track. Not just those who want to do it just like me, not who sing the same songs or the way I sing them. Jesus said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me says, what? I will in no wise cast them out. I don't care if they murdered. I don't care if they stole. I don't care if they're drunken. I don't care what they're lying on the street. I don't care what it is. When they come to me and they surrender to me, once they're in my fold, once they're in my hand, I will never cast them out because the veil was ripped that they can get to me. The veil was ripped so they can get into the inner. When we couldn't get into the inner chamber, we had to worry about somebody protecting us, somebody getting us, somebody dragging us out. But today, the only one we got to worry about is getting connected to Jesus. And once we're connected to Jesus, all bets are off. Nobody can touch me. Nobody can harm me. Nobody can hurt me. Nobody can do anything. But Jesus will heal me. Jesus will sacrifice me. Jesus will continue to cover me. So all are welcome. All are welcome. Where it says in silence, Jesus went to the cross to suffer our punishment. Now what? All are welcome. All may enter. What? Confidently. By faith. Not by your action, but by your faith. And what faith, if you got faith, it will what? Breed in action. Let me show you how that works. I'm sure it works. I'm done. I was under the expectation today that Minister Lisa would not be here. She had an assignment that she had to be at. I was under that understanding. And then Sister Deborah couldn't be here. And I didn't know if Sister Valerie was going to be here. Why? Because one's working on procedure, yada, yada, yada. But today, guess what? She's here. I don't know details. It don't matter. God figured it out, worked it out. For some reason, she needed to be here. So that God would what? Usher us into his presence with all those who are doing whatever we do, right? Amen. We don't know the fullness of the story. You don't know what she's been through. You don't know what she's been facing. You don't know how much energy she's applied to this, that, or the other that's going on in her life. We don't know all of yours, but God. But the truth is, when we seek God and do what he said, look at what happens. Look at what happens. So let us pray. Father, we thank you. Lord, you became sin for us. You paid the price for us. So we say thank you, Lord. Then, Lord, because you paid the price for our sin debt, you who had not sinned loved us so much that you paid the price. We have been set free. We don't have to stay on the outer courts away from you. We don't have to turn our face not to behold your face. We don't have to go to somebody and say, will you pray for me that the Lord would have mercy on me? We can come directly to the throne and we come boldly and we hear your promise. No matter what it is, my child, no matter how far left or how far right, no matter what degree, if you come unto me, I will never cast you out. Thank you for your word. Prove that, Lord. With your inner circle, you said, just watch for 1 hour. And they couldn't watch. You told them to do it again. And they couldn't do it again. And finally, your love for them just said, sleep on. I got this. So thank you, Lord, for having it. Thank you, Lord, when we get weary. Thank you, Lord, when we get disobedient. Thank you, Lord, till we lean to our own understanding, not lean on you. So today, Father, we just thank you. We thank you and we thank you. Now, Father, we thank you that we don't have to stay in that place. For you sent your spirit that dwells within us to lead us and to guide us. So now, Father, we pray for humble submission to your spirit. That anything that comes against your spirit, Lord, reveal it to us. And we will release ourselves from that thing so that we can be pure in following you. This is our prayer, Lord. This is the promise that you've given us. And now, Lord, we'll be still and watch what you do. You do what nobody else can do.
Yes, God.
And we say thank you. And the people of God said, amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank the Lord for what he has done. We thank him for his word. As we enter. We always talk about his death, his burial, and his resurrection. But there were a lot of things taking place around that. And the veil being rent was one of them. It's symbolic of setting us free. Free. Just imagine, if you would, you can go in the best grocery store of the highest quality that anyone would imagine. Most people think it's Mariano's, but I don't care what it is. The place you would like to go shop. And God said, come on in. Come on in and go get what you want. No charge. Now, your first thing is, well, now if I walk out of here without paying for this, I'm stealing. Anybody had that? No. God said, come on in. There's no charge. I've already paid the price.
Jesus.
See, we think logically, we're thinking about the food. But we think spiritually, we think about the gifts of God. The gift of love, the gift of perseverance, our joy, our peace, our long suffering. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit. Why do we not like to talk about that one? Because that's a gift from God. God said, you can hold on just a little while longer. Anybody almost at the end of their rope? Anybody? Thank you, Lord. The word said, he sent me illustration, say, tie a knot in the string and swing. Just tie a knot in it and swing. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry you home.